Welcome, everybody, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, and on this show, our goal is to make you a more intelligent investor all around. And there's some really interesting data that we're going to talk about here at the beginning, and then we're going to get to your Q&A, your questions, and we will try to provide you some answers. You're able to give us a call just by going to morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon on the screen, and you can leave us a voicemail question. We will answer it here. But first, some stuff is going on in the market that seems a little bit odd. If anyone's paying attention to these jobs numbers, you might be rubbing your chin a little bit saying, what in the hell is happening here? Why is the government continue to put out some weird, fishy numbers? The Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, should just be called the BS. Because putting out some weird manufacturing and construction numbers, even in the face of all of these massive tech layoffs that we're seeing. So let me just say at a high level, I believe 2023 is going to be the year of the layoff. I'm going to say it right here on this show. You know, this year we've had year of inflation. Next year is going to be layoffs. I've been saying it for months that the big amount of layoffs and job losses coming is going to be unbelievable. And we're already seeing, you know, going into the holiday season, you don't usually see these types of layoffs, and you're already seeing tens of thousands of layoffs going into the Christmas season. So even today, we saw layoffs at National Public Radio, NPR, like, you know, taxpayer-funded NPR, CNN, massive layoffs, the New York Times. There was a walkout in the New York Times offices for layoffs. There's layoffs at all major media outlets, which, fine, between you and me, it's about time. Legacy corporate media that just spews propaganda. Like, you know, it's about time. Americans are waking up that independent media and independent journalism is where it's at, but that's a sidebar issue. So you're seeing huge tech layoffs, right? Facebook shedding thousands of jobs. All sorts of manufacturing jobs are going. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out numbers over this last part of this week, late last week, which points good numbers in manufacturing and construction. Even when, if you're looking at ADP's data, ADP is, of course, payroll data, they're seeing a huge decline in manufacturing and construction. So what the hell is going on here? Are they lying to us? Is the government lying to us? No, that couldn't be. Well, something's happening. Something really fishy is happening. And in fact, Julia Coronado is a former Fed staffer. She sent out a tweet earlier this week or late last week, pointing out that we've reached what she calls an absurd part of this business cycle right now. Because in this data last week that Joe Biden was very excited about, we're talking about, oh, payrolls are increasing. So why are suddenly people making more money all of a sudden? This is good news, right? And of course, the White House takes a victory lap. Well, it turns out, according to Julia, looks like we're getting a possible boost to average hourly earnings from severance packages. Jobs and hours are declining in transportation jobs and warehousing jobs. You know, Amazon slashing thousands of jobs. Yet somehow, she points out, that we saw increases in annual hourly earnings. So 2.5%? Huh? No. Something doesn't smell right. And what she's saying, and what is likely very much the case, is that people are getting a bunch of severance packages like, hey, you're out of a job now. Here's your last 2 weeks of pay. Here's a month's worth of salary. Bye-bye. So, wow, they got a little extra money, and that spikes the numbers. And then the White House takes a victory lap. I mean, this is the clown world that we live in right now, guys. And so all of this to say we better be protected. Because I'm telling you right now, we're sitting in this massive inflationary period with more food shortages on the way, more supply chain issues coming. We're still seeing a huge crunch in supply chain, and hourly wages are declining, and jobs are being lost by the tens of thousands. This, of course, will have a ripple cascade effect across the economy. Next year will be the year of the layoffs. And I think what's really important to think about here is that when the Fed was continuing to print money, here's the thing, they're not stopping. They're continuing to print money. But these companies are not spending that money on creating the next iPhone or any other sort of big research and development projects, right? The idea when the Fed pumps money into these companies is that they're doing research and development. And then that $1 million of investment will yield $1 billion of profitability and, you know, to the economy. It'll mean jobs. It'll mean commerce, all of those things. But these companies aren't doing it. They're not doing anything with that money like that. They're buying back their own shares. They're doing special acquisitions of companies, special takeovers, right? All the SPACs. So we are in a crap show right now, a real clown world as we head into 2023. So again, all of this to say, please protect yourselves. And again, to my mind, that's why, again, I just released a video on this. We've had so many really more advanced, savvy investors, not newbies, but more advanced, savvy investors calling us in the past few weeks because they know what's coming. And so they're lining up and buying additional rental properties right now before the end of the year because they know the tax benefits and also what's coming in this economy as a hedge against inflation. And now because the housing prices have declined for three consecutive months, we're in a flat period right now. And this could arguably be one of the best times to invest in real estate. When prices have come down and they're flat, we might be at peak inflation in the United States. We might be. Interest rates might stay where they are now or start to even come down a little bit. And housing has now had 3 months of declining prices. So smart investors that we're talking to are buying properties right now because they're buying at this dip period, building, and then they're going to be holding this for an equity position. Because in a year when those prices go up, they will have bought during a flat period. And then, of course, rents will increase and the cash flow will come, but they're being smart about it right now. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2023? No one has a crystal ball, but all of the data is pointing to massive layoffs. So protect yourselves. I would love to hear your comments on this. And just to, you know, send me your thoughts here, drop a comment below and let me know your thoughts. What are you seeing in your sector, where you live, your town? Please share me with me some of your insights. All right, we've got three great voicemails I want to play for you today, some questions. So the first one up is Mark.
Thank you for taking my call. About a year ago, I purchased the home I had been renting for a number of years. I needed help with a down payment, so I have an equity investor who provided the down payment for me, and I need to pay them back in 3 years. With 10% interest on the investment. The home we bought was, we paid $1.1 million for it. And the market value at the time was $1.35. In the last year, since we purchased it, the value has gone up by about 15%. So there's quite a bit of equity in the home. My question is, I need to pay the investor back in two years from now. And my question is, should I do a HELOC to pull equity out of the home to pay them back, or should I refinance to do it? Thank you for your response.
Thank you so much, Mark. Well, I can't tell you what to do with your money. I cannot tell you what to do as far as, you know, one way or the other. I can tell you my opinion. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, so your mileage may vary on this. But personally, I would be looking at, the first thing I would want to do is look at, I would want to understand the interest rates that we're dealing with. You know, what is the interest rate that you have? So you're 10% with this individual. Remember, and find out what the interest rate you could get from a local bank right now on a refinance. And if those numbers make sense, see what Natalie likes to say, my wife, is that you're trading one financial product for another. Something we say in our house all the time. Like it's numbers, right? It's just numbers. So the key is this a house you live in? I believe that's what you said. So if you're living in this house, it sounds like a single family. I can say there's no way a single family home as an investment at $1 million would make sense. I can't wrap my head around those numbers at all. So normally this would be a house that you're living in because, you know, anything really over 200, 300,000 is not going to keep up with the rents. Like a single family, it's not going to make sense mathematically for you to have a mortgage that high on a property and then try to rent it. Like the rent is never going to be as high as that mortgage payment. When you get up into $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, like that, the numbers don't make sense from a return on investment perspective. So that's why I'm I think you said you're living in the property, which makes sense. So you're living in the property. What is the interest rate that you can currently get then from a bank? Do you have good credit? Are you, you know, are you able to show a low debt to income ratio? You have a high credit score so you can get a lower interest rate. All of those things are important. So what could you do to pay this investor back? You know, you've got 2 years on the clock right now, but he's charging you 10%. So if you can accelerate that and get this thing paid off, ideally, that would be the case. You'd want to get this thing paid off more quickly, right? 10% is really high. That's a really high interest rate. So you're trading financial products. You can go to the local bank. If they're going to give you 5% or 6%, 7%, well, that's 3% better than you're currently paying to this guy. And of course, then you can extend the loan for 30 years. But anytime you look at a refinance, this is so important, guys. You got to make sure you're not going to move within the next 6 months. Right? If this is like your forever house, you're going to be there for at least a year. Remember, when you do a refinance, you're getting a whole new bank loan, a whole new bank product. And so what you're doing is you're paying closing costs. And so that normally those closing costs almost eat up a whole year of payments that you would have been making. And you're almost starting the whole cycle over again. So a lot of people don't think about that when they think refinances. They don't realize that now I've just literally set the clock back 1 year, because that whole year is basically what I've just paid to the bank in closing costs and fees to get this new product, this new financial product. So again, the numbers on a spreadsheet have to make sense, Mark, before you pull the trigger and do a refinance. So that may be not the best option. But again, it all comes down to numbers. So you just need to make that determination on your own. What will those prices look like? The other thing, of course, is the home equity line of credit. And I would say, personally, if this were my house, I would absolutely get a home equity line of credit. That to me is a separate even issue. If a bank is going to extend you a line of credit based on the equity in your own home, I just would have it anyway. Like, forget paying this guy back. Have it anyway. As a weapon, a tool in your arsenal. Now you have equity in your home that you can use, maybe to pay a portion of it back to this guy, but also to invest in other real estate. Now you've got equity, a position that he's provided to you. You can use a portion of that equity position to go invest in other real estate. You know, you could probably make one or two down payments on a rental property. Like, you know, book a call with our team. We'll help you with that. To me, that's a no-brainer. I always hesitate to want to pay down a primary mortgage on a property that I'm living in, and then not using any of that cash or capital or equity to start investing in another property. I hate that strategy. I at the very least do a half and half, you know, half pay down and half use that equity for an investment. That's what I do. That's my personal opinion. Because if you pay off the mortgage, then what do you got? You've got nothing other than the house you live in. And that's not a performing asset, remember. So you can pull equity out of it and you can start to use that equity to help you buy performing assets. That's the way that I look at it. So thank you, Mark. I hope you found that helpful. Can we talk about notifications for a second? Who actually leaves those sounds on anymore? Well, besides that kind, there's another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether your thing is, you know, vintage t-shirts or recipes, it doesn't really matter. Start selling with Shopify today and join the platform that's simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, grow the following that keeps them coming back. Shopify has all of the sales channels sorted out so your business keeps growing, from an in-person point of sale system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. Now, we just recently set up a new Shopify store. Been working with my team right now. We're adding different t-shirts and hats and mugs and tumblers. And it was so simple to get up and running. Literally, within minutes, we had the storefront up and running. We were able to upload our new designs. And boom, we have our new Shopify store up and running and integrated so we can start selling right away. really, really fantastic. So whether you're ready to launch your thing or you want to, you know, work out some different ideas, you can do that with Shopify because it grows with you. So go right now. Try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Right. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/investing. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/investing to start selling online today. That's shopify.com/investing. Our next question here from Fernando.
Yes, my question is, I have a property that I just put a $50,000 rehab in it. And because of my credit scores are so low, now that I'm going for the refinance cash out, the payout is $10,500 after closing costs and everything. And they said they was doing this to help me pay off the credit card debt to bring my scores up and then enter me into another product. The payoff for the property is $102. The appraisal came in at $180. Can you give me some feedback on that before I make this decision? Thank you.
Okay, Fernando. So we've got a house that you put $50,000 into renovating this place. It's now worth $180, but you owe $102 on it. And so you're trying to do a refinance cash out, and they'll get, and I don't understand the $10,500 part. I'm not quite clear on the $10,500 part. Like, your payout to them for that product doesn't make sense to me. I would get some clarity on that to find out, like, what's included in that $10,500 payout. That doesn't sound, I mean, that's certainly not a mortgage. That's not closing cost, if that's not what I'm understanding. That would never be that high. So that sounds really fishy to me. I'm not really sure what that means. I can understand wanting to get your credit score better, but I would be cautious about that. I would, in fact, rather have you use a folks at ScoreMaster, or our friends at ScoreMaster. They're not a sponsor of this show or anything. I just really believe in them. So if you go to scoremaster.com/invest, you can check them out, and they'll help you fix your credit score. Like, at least 61 points is like their goal, and then it mostly goes higher than that, 61 to 80 points. Again, if you go to scoremaster.com/invest, I would much rather not have you, like, take out a mortgage that they're going to use to pay off credit card debt. It almost sounds like some sort of a debt consolidation service that you're working with. I don't quite understand that. But I would also say, if you don't feel comfortable with whatever bank product they're throwing at you in this regard, I would shop around a little bit. If you got an appraisal at 180, you owe 102 on it, okay? And they're going to give you, you know, they're going to give you a, you know, typically they're going to give you 80% loan to value of that property. You're going to walk away with a nice little profit there. Now, I don't know about this credit card debt, because you didn't tell me how much the debt was. So I can't speak to that exactly. But what I can say is, you know, if you can use, of course, that profit to pay down some of that extra debt, that's going to be at 18, 19, 21% interest, get yourself away from that. You know, that would be my advice personally, to pay off that higher interest credit card debt. So again, I would shop around on this refinance that you're talking about. And it's, you put $50,000 into this property. Is it an investment property, or is it a place you live in? If it's an investment and you're looking to keep it, then I would definitely shop around, and I would consider doing a home equity line of credit instead of a cash out refinance. Again, a cash out refinance, I've never really been a fan of, unless you're like a house flipper, because that's a different scenario. Like, if you're flipping it, okay, they're going to take the money out and you're going to roll it into the next property. That makes sense. But again, a cash out refinance, they're going to give you a pile of cash and the clock starts ticking. And so I'm just not a fan of the refinance in that way. I'd much rather have a home equity line of credit on an investment property that I can use and leverage. But it sounds like you want to get out of this property, you're selling it. So again, I just don't have all the, details, Fernando. But I just, my gut says I want to shop around a little bit. I want to talk to some other banks, and I also want to work on my credit score separately from what these guys may be telling you. So I don't know quite who's telling you what about your credit score, but check out the team from Scoremaster. So thank you for that question. Today's episode is brought to you by Crowd Health. Open enrollment is here right now, and that means now is the time to take charge of your healthcare decisions. Now, we all know the system isn't working. It's totally broken. And thanks to Crowd Health, we can do something about it. Crowd Health puts your healthcare back in your hands. Cut out the middleman, save money, and fund your healthcare costs without relying on big government or big insurance companies. Now, see any doctor you want anytime. No deductibles, no exclusions, no co-pays. You only pay the first $500 of any healthcare event. So the Crowd Health community then takes care of the rest. It's unbelievable. No exclusive doctor networks, no huge premiums or high deductibles, no surprises. You pay one low monthly total to fund your account, and then your monthly subscription helps fund the healthcare costs of the entire Crowd Health community. And if you have an event or a healthcare event, the community comes together and actually pays your bills. It's amazing. So it's unlike insurance because there's no doctor network, so you can see any doctor that you want to. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's beats insurance. I mean, it really beats insurance by totally reversing the vicious incentives that got us into this mess in the first place. Though Crowd Health really provides you a true peace of mind. Now, open enrollment is the only time that you can hit the eject button on the broken system without paying any penalties. So don't wait. And for a limited time, just for $99 per month for your first 6 months when you use promo code INVESTING at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com, promo code INVESTING. Try it now to take charge of your healthcare today with Crowd Health. Here's our next question. It comes to us from Corey.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. So I'm in a position right now where I want to be able to build my business credit and my personal credit, you know, to the point where I can easily, you know, go to the bank, you know, take out a loan, you know, maybe get out a loan, put it into an investment property, you know, basically do whatever to build my wealth. But the first thing is first, I want to know if it's a good idea to use a HELOC to build my business credit, because that's one thing that's lingering on my mind. I have the plan, I have the vision, I have the ambition. There is no question about that. And it's obviously not, you know, a get rich scheme. You know, you should automatically know that when you're dealing with, you know, with a house that, you know, that you have equity on, because when you take out that equity line of credit from your house, you know, now you got to pay that down. But I understand that completely. But if I'm building up my business credit and my personal credit, and I obviously know what I want to do with my business credit when taking out a loan from a bank and, you know, putting that money into work and building income from that, I want to know if that's a good idea to start first for me building my business credit using a HELOC.
Well, thanks so much for that question. I'm just curious how you would use the home equity line of credit to build the business credit. Because, when you're dealing with people in business, you know, when people are looking at you for business lines of credit, they're going to look at what your business is currently doing. Let's just think about this for a second. So if you've got a home equity line of credit and you want to build out your personal credit score, you can use your home equity line of credit to really pay off some personal debt. Again, when bankers are going to look at you, they're going to say, our credit scores, or the credit bureaus are going to look at you and say, you know, what is your debt to income ratio? Do you have any lingering problems on your credit score? And what are the things that you've done in the past? Maybe you were late on a couple of credit card payments. Maybe you didn't pay an electric bill 1 month and it carried over, and that can tarnish your credit score. But a lot of these things can be wiped away and fixed very, very easily. So let me just say this about credit scores. The United States is a very credit score driven society. Like a lot of other countries they don't use a credit score at all. But in the United States, it's like your FICO score is like the be all end all. And I think what's sad is it really holds a lot of people back. Like, you can hear Corey, like he sounds like a really motivated person who, you know, has a vision and is going to do some amazing things. Like, I believe in you. Don't let a credit score get in the way of this. Now, I had a 500 something credit score when I became a real estate investor. Okay. I was in the crapper. I mean, really, I had a foreclosure on my name. I had just lost my job. I had moved in. I had to move back in with my parents, and I had a 500 some credit score. This was after the 2007 collapse. Really bad time in my life, but it didn't stop me. And a credit score didn't stop me. And what you'll find is with a lot of really motivated investors, credit scores don't stop them at all. In fact, they're not even really worried about that, because what they're doing is they're creatively financing and structuring deals with private lenders and independent, you know. So don't let a credit score stop you, Corey. But now there are simple things that you can do personally to build up your credit. First of all, I just mentioned it to our last caller, to Fernando. I mean, just jump on scoremaster.com/invest. And see how they can quickly fix your credit score. They can, within 2 weeks, can get your credit score up like 61 points and even higher than that. So first, like on a personal level, if that's what you're concerned about, your personal credit score, because you want to get like business lines and your business is tied to your personal name as an LLC, I get it. Then start working on that. The other thing I would do is, because their credit scientists are fantastic. If you've got some things on your credit score that are just like, oh, I've missed a payment. I had a $1 thing on my credit score a few years ago that screwed up my credit for a little while. It was like a $1 thing from some old credit card that I didn't even know I had. It was like a monthly payment thing or a monthly billing thing that screwed up my credit. So then what I had to do is I contacted the credit bureaus where you can go and dispute them right there. And I think right on freecreditreport.com, I think the government one, you can actually go and dispute things. And just if you see something that doesn't make sense, you can dispute it. And then the onus is on them. They have about 30 days to respond with evidence. And almost in all of my experience, they never could find the evidence. And then they would just take it off your credit score. So anyway, just that's one little peace of mind thing. I just want you to be thinking about that. You can fix that probably pretty quickly. The other piece of this is that using a home equity line of credit to build up your social, your business credit score or your business acumen by using a home equity line of credit to buy rental properties. Now you're adding properties to your net worth column. You're adding assets by using some of that home equity to invest, to make down payments, right? And to then use the bank's money for the financing of the rest. And now you're adding to your net worth column. And so that's what a business is worth. That's a business's credit score. That's to me what a business's credit score is all about. It's the amount of money, the amount of assets that sit in that column, right? Compared with compared with bad debt. So if you're sitting there drowning in debt and you can't show the profitability and you can't show the income from the rental properties, then these are all things that I would want, you know, I would want to try to fix in that regard. I'd want to actually build up my net worth, the cash flow, and that position. That's what that is absolutely what's most important. When I do things from a personal perspective in business, no one ever asks me for my credit score. They want to know what assets I have. That's my capital. That's my credit score, Corey, is my assets, not my credit score. I feel like so many people get held back by the credit score thing. And I think it's a product of a bygone era. And savvy investors know that they are bigger than that. Corey, you are bigger than that. You are better than a credit score. You are bigger and better than a credit score. So go out there, you know, just crush it. I believe in you. And I believe in all of you for taking action and taking time out to learn a little bit about your finances, what's going on in the broader economy right now. We're going to be watching these jobs numbers as we head into the holiday season. And early part of next year. But again, I believe real estate investing is really, really important and a really fascinating way and a really important way to protect yourself in this economy. I just published an entirely new video on the difference between new investors and savvy investors. I want you to watch that video next. We'll link it up right here, and I'll see you in the next video.